There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the latest Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. TJ Inman will be along with us shortly. Today we have our National Signing Day review, some Indiana football news to update you on, and some Big Ten East news as well as we watch the Michigan State situation closely, and it looks like it has come to an end. So we will talk all about that, get you ready for spring practice as well as Indiana has announced their dates for the start of spring practice, which will be March 7th, and the annual Cream and Crimson game. Which will be April 17th, Friday night at 7 o'clock at Memorial Stadium. But first, a word from our partners over at MyBookie. I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when I'm putting my money on it. Sometimes I have a gut feeling about a matchup, and sometimes I'm just betting on my team because they're my team. Regardless, whether you've been betting for years or you're ready to play for the first time, MyBookie is your best bet. This season. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with mybookie.ag. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code CHAIR, that's C-H-A-I-R, to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR to double your cash. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, and we're moving on. TJ, welcome back to the show. It's been a while since we've been on talking football. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Hopefully everybody's staying safe. Getting pretty icy here in Indianapolis, so stay safe if you're listening to this live. And definitely not football weather anymore. We're in the kind of the early part of the off season, if you will, but still lots to discuss.
Yeah, Green Bay begs to differ about football weather, TJ.
That's true.
But yeah,
that's
a lot
true.
Of stuff to talk about. It's we'll call it the hot stove season of college football, kind of like baseball, since baseball is right around the corner. But let's look at this Indiana's final 2020 recruiting class. They mm-hmm. added two prospects in Khalil Benson, and he was a big get. Benson was out of Mississippi. It came really down to the final hour with Mississippi State. He's an offensive tackle. They needed that position, especially with Coy Kronk hitting the transfer portal and going to Iowa as well. And it's just a big get. What do you think about Khalil Benson?
You're right. I mean, it was certainly a good addition. IU was really searching for quite a few months for another talented offensive lineman with one important ability, and that's the ability to play tackle. They really wanted another guy that could develop into a starting tackle for them, and they feel like they found it with Benson. He had really good offers, from SEC schools and a few other power programs as well. To get him from the Memphis area, he's right there on the border, could apparently walk to Memphis from his home. So to get him from that area is a big addition. He has the frame that you certainly like. While we don't know how he's going to develop at this time, we do know he's got the frame that you want to start with. He looks like he'd be ready to contribute early on. The plan certainly will be for him to come in redshirt, perhaps get four games, maybe, if that. But I think the plan is to come in, have him redshirt, sit behind and learn from Matthew Bedford, who was his host during the visit that he had, and Caleb Jones, and then kind of develop him, and maybe in a year or two he ends up starting along that line with the ability to slide out the tackle during his career. So it was a big get. He's a really big boy. If you've seen his highlight tapes, as much as I know about offensive linemen, which is not a ton as far as how they translate, he looks the part. So that was a good get for Indiana, and hopefully Vincent will come in and live up to the promise that he shows right now. I think it was, if I'm ranking him among the offensive line prospects that IU brought in, I put him right at the top of the list.
Yeah, and 247 Sports is right there with you as Benson's, a high to mid three-star. He's a top 800 national player as well. And then the other prospect Indiana signed last week is Jalen Malaya. He's a defensive end from Georgia. He's 6'5", 230 pounds. He has the frame, and TJ, you mentioned this with Benson, he has the frame that Indiana's looking for these defensive linemen, who every time you see somebody who's really good on the pass rush, they're these 6'6 guys, really long arms, who are hard to block and can either knock down passes or get to the quarterback. And Malaya has that kind of ability. He will need to bulk up. He can't play in the Big Ten, the defensive line at 230, but it looks like he has the frame. He's kind of the guy you really wish was coming in mid-year and could get into the weight program early. And he could have been a guy that maybe, if he wasn't early enrollee, would definitely see the four games before redshirting, or even become a depth of role player along that defensive line, which really desperately needs a pass rush to help that out. And we'll talk about that more in our spring ball previews when we get to that. But Jalen Malaya is from Georgia. IU, while they didn't get a signee out of Florida, they recruited the South still pretty well. Got a couple guys from Mississippi, a couple guys from Georgia, Texas. You got Bryson Bonds. So this class, and the class TJ finishes at 58th nationally, 12th in the Big Ten. It was a small class, 19 freshmen. But if you want to look at it compared to last year's class that ranked 39th nationally, the average ranking per prospect this year was 85, and 247 Sports does it as 0.8500. We always multiply it by 100 and make it 85 point something. So last year's was 85.77. This year's was 85.00. So they're very similar. They plugged a lot of holes. I think it's a mission accomplished in this class. And maybe next year you'll see some of that bowl. It's going to be another small class unless a whole bunch of people leave. You'll start seeing the payoff of going to the bowl game, of winning eight games, and hopefully Indiana can continue to win and build off of that momentum. So any final thoughts on this recruiting class? I thought it was very similar to last year in terms of talent. They plugged a lot of the holes that they needed, we'll see where they go from here. And they have 9 early and enrollees, so about just under half of their class is coming in early for spring.
Well, one thing that I do want to point out is the number of offensive linemen that they brought in. The offensive linemen, one, that's one of the hardest positions to kind of project how that's going to translate. And from the you know, high school level to the college level. And then two, those guys tend to be ranked a little bit lower than your flashy skill position guys, just as a rule. So with Indiana bringing in a lot of offensive linemen, that might push down the overall ranking just a tiny bit. Just something to keep in mind when considering the overall ranking of the class. But I agree with you. I think overall it's something you're a class you're going to be happy about. Plugged a lot of holes. So that's really what you're looking for is best player at position of need. I think Indiana did that. Now it's just time to get those guys in the program and coach them up, as they say.
Yep, and with additions comes some subtractions. There were a few subtractions from the Indiana program this week. Ronnie Walker, running back, who's a former four-star recruit out of Virginia, played 2 years at IU, really didn't get the amount of play that he probably thought he deserved and that maybe some people outside of the were projecting. He was passed by Samson James and Stevie Scott. He has entered the transfer portal. And then you have Mark Hagan, who is Indiana's defensive line coach, is now going to be the defensive line coach at Texas. His family is still down in Texas in College Station, where when he was from when he was the defensive line coach for Texas A&M. It's a move that you hate to see Coach Hagan go. He's a great coach, good recruiter in the state of Indiana and down in the South as well. Just boy, a good all-around football coach, and you hate to lose that. So we'll see where Indiana goes from there. But what are your thoughts on Ronnie Walker entering the transfer portal?
Well, it was not particularly surprising. You know, I think that if you pay attention to the depth chart, he had certainly slipped below the two that you mentioned. And, you know, it was fair to wonder how much he was going to get, how much run he was going to get this coming season. For him, you know, we'll see where he ends up going, but I don't think it's a particularly important loss for Indiana, really. It sounds harsh, but, you know, I'm just not real worried about what they do with a third running back position. I think there's plenty of capable bodies that you know, could provide more of an impact with the opportunity than Walker was able to.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely wants to play and things like that. And if you were at the signing day preview event or watched it on Facebook, Mike Hart kind of took a jab at them when introducing Tim Baldwin. He says he's a guy who wants to compete for playing time, is not scared to compete. And Indiana's had, this is their third running back in the last, you know, 5 or 6 months to enter the portal with along with Ivory Winters, who left before last season, and Cole Guest, who left the team midseason. And Cole Guest, I don't blame him for leaving. He had fallen behind a lot of guys, and it wasn't because he wasn't a tough dude or didn't want to compete. He got banged up a lot, and he was looking for opportunities elsewhere. And all these guys who enter the transfer portal, they do it for a reason. It's their right to go to the transfer portal. They have the right to do what's best for them, and they should do what's best for them as long as it's in the realm of, you know, legality. But, you know, Coach Hart is going to bring in guys that he wants and who wants to be there. And if you don't want to compete for the job or want to have things handed to you, he probably doesn't want you in that running back room anymore. And that's what it sounded like from there. It's a significant loss in terms of depth. Indiana's probably set at running back with Stevie Scott and Samson James, but it really hits you in the depth part where, you know, these guys get banged up. We saw both Scott and Samson James get hurt during the season, and you're now going to go, you have Tim Baldwin coming in as a true freshman. You don't know what you're going to get from him. You hope you get something, But then after that, you have Arod Lloyd, maybe David Ellis plays a little bit more running back as well. So
yep.
it hurts depth-wise. It doesn't really hurt the star power at the top. So we'll see, and it opens up a scholarship spot for next year's class. And then we'll talk about the D-line coach spot, TJ, when more becomes available and stuff like that. But there is some moving and shaking going on in the Big Ten East.
I did want to point out real quick, because David Ellis, I do think that is going to be something we see is more David Ellis at running back, which I'm excited about. I think getting the ball in his hands is a good idea for Nick Sheridan in his first year at offensive coordinator. He looked like a guy that's very capable with the ball in the little that we saw of him at running back. So I'm excited about that. And then I am higher than any rational person has the right to be on Charlie Spiegel and the impact that he could have at Indiana. So I think that IU is going to find answers for that for Ronnie Walker's carries. I wish him the best wherever he ends up going, but I think IU will find plenty of options that are going to be adequate for that third spot. But definitely change is coming in the Big Ten East as Michigan State, Mark D'Antonio resigning. It's not entirely surprising given the trouble that the Michigan State's currently experiencing right now. They make the move after reportedly whiffing on Luke Fickell and Matt Campbell. They make the move to Mel Tucker from Colorado.
After they struck out with Mel Tucker the first time. This is something that came out late last night or early this morning at like 1, I don't know, I was getting texts at like 1:30 in the morning from people. And it was right after the Ohio State news came out where two of their players got arrested or are charged with rape and kidnapping, and warrants are issued for their arrest. So we'll see what goes on there. But as far as Michigan State goes, this was, and we held off on judging it because we really wanted to see where it was going. And there was some great social media content out there with some spoofs of Star Wars and things like that. If you want to go, and you could see there's whatever is brewing in Michigan State is not great. It was a little shocking that Mark D'Antonio left when he did. But when you look at it, it was less than 24 hours after recruiting allegations came out against him from the former coach Blackwell. And it was just, it's the timing was just about right there to say, hey, something's up. And then, you don't know if the NCAA is going to come down on them with something, and who knows when they're going to do stuff. It could be next year. It could be 10 years from now. It could be 5 years from now. It could be in the middle of the season or anything like that. So it's not a surprise that he left, because it was turning – Michigan State has been turning into a toxic wasteland for a while. But this whole stuff is it's getting – we'll see where they go with Mel Tucker. He went 5-7 at Colorado last year. There's a lot of backlash from him taking this job. He tweeted out that he wasn't leaving and that he's loyal to Colorado. He was at donors meetings, the day before. It's – and to have the report drop at 1 a.m. in the morning is kind of so – we'll see what they do. Mel Tucker is a fine coach, but he did go 5-7. He's looking to hire a good staff. I think they're looking at like $5 or $6 million for assistance. So we'll see where Michigan State goes. And it's a big deal for Indiana. Indiana finished above Michigan State in the standings this year. It's kind of you're starting to chip away at that top four in the Big Ten East. What are your takeaways besides that Michigan State is a mess? From this coaching hire, TJ?
Well, the NCAA stuff is going to play a big part in this. I mean, Indiana is so close to Michigan State in terms of, you know, the quality of players that are being brought in, the quality of the product on the field that's being put out. IU is very close to Michigan State, very close to catching them. We don't need a major drop-off for Indiana to catch Michigan State. You know, the Spartans just have to stumble a little bit for IU to kind of surpass them to get the fourth in the East. Now, if you have, let's say, I don't know, scholarship productions like maybe five or six per year for a few years, that could tilt the scales. So we'll see what ends up playing out with that. It'll probably take a while for anything to happen. However, it was a big concern, apparently, according to the Detroit Free Press, it was a big concern for Luke Fickell. It's
yep.
Reportedly the main reason he turned that job down. So, you know, that plays into it. As far as Mel Tucker goes, I don't know what to think. I mean, I've watched some Colorado games this season. They were fine. I don't think they stood out in any way. But it was his first year, so it's hard to hold him accountable for anything there. It strikes me as a lot of money to pay a incredibly unproven guy. But it's not my money, so, and they apparently have it. So, I mean, that's, you know, up to them. So I think the offensive hires he makes is going to be very important. It helps Indiana quite a bit if Michigan State continues to struggle on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I agree with that. His offensive coordinator hire is going to be a really big deal. You know, D'Antonio was a really, really good coach. His defenses were, at least at the beginning of the season, they were playing at an elite level, and the offense held that program back. Now, who knows that if the effort level or some injuries bogged that defense down, because you kind of know that, hey, if the defense is carrying the load, you kind of get sick of carrying the load all the time. And it didn't seem like he was going to make any changes, and it was just, you know, it kind of became stale. And now, you know, if you could kind of inject life into that offense, it's kind of like the offense from Indiana with Mike DeBoer and Kalen DeBoer. If you inject some life into it, it's going to do so. You're going to be that much better. You're going to become a little bit more popular of a program, and you could really get stuff going. And we've seen Michigan State win the Big Ten before. We've seen them go to the college football playoff, although they didn't score against Alabama. But we've seen what the ceiling at Michigan State is, and it is pretty high. But we've also seen the floor when they couldn't make a, you know, a good hire. They've lived through the John L. Smith era, and it's kind of – you kind of see the same things on the fan base that you've seen with Indiana basketball, where they're frustrated and you know, they're not happy with things and kind of divided, and they're stopping going to games and things like that. So it'll be very interesting to see who he hires. It'll be very interesting to see, you know, how they start next year. I think their schedule is pretty tough. They have to go to BYU. They have, I believe, Toledo and – I think they have Toledo. They have another tough home game, and Toledo. I mean, they're a MAC team, but they're a pretty darn good MAC team. And then they have Miami's coming in, so it's gonna, they gotta win games, and it might be tough going on. And if it's just like how you hired Tom Allen, you're gonna have your detractors who at the first sign of trouble are going to light up the internet with, well, they hired a high school. Well, you hired a 5-7 coach. You're giving this guy a gazillion dollars to come from Colorado, where he, you know, didn't he won 5 games. So,
yeah,
morale is going to be a big deal to me, I think.
It's just really hard for me to understand the current economics of the Big Ten that, you know, that's what $5.3 million gets you. Good for the coaches, but that's a really steep price to pay for, you know, if you tell me, hey, Michigan State just, you know, they poached a Power 5 coach for, they're paying him $5.3 million a season. I would not have guessed that it was Mel Tucker that they hired.
Their schedule before they play IU, they open up with Northwestern. They go to BYU, which is never easy in Provo. You get Toledo at home, Miami at home, at Iowa, Michigan, and Ohio State. So I'm not prognosticating anything right now, but that's a tough 7-game schedule before they head to Bloomington on October 24th. And if they're sitting at 2 or 3 wins, people are going to be frustrated and asking, why are we paying this guy $5.3 million plus whatever you're paying assistants, plus the $4.3 million they paid D'Antonio before he upped and left? So it might get worse before it gets better, but your window of opportunity for Indiana here is at some point Michigan State's going to get it right. And this is the year you gotta beat them at home. And they're coming off of 4 really tough Power 5 games. And they play 6 Power 5 teams in the first 7 games. This is the year you got to beat them. So
we'll see. I mean, we're going to see over the next few weeks here additions and subtractions to that roster, I imagine. You know, you always see guys when there's basically an entirely new coaching staff, I would imagine, comes in. Maybe it's not entirely new because of the timing of this, but probably some, you know, defections and addition to the coaching staff as Mel Tucker brings in his guys. You're going to see some transfers out and you're going to see some transfers in. So a lot to be determined as far as what that roster looks like. But just on its face, you've got a first year head coach at Michigan State, second year overall as a head coach. And you're hosting that team in the middle of a really tough stretch for them. You know, on its face, that definitely swings, kind of looms as a pivotal game to IU's 2020 season for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a trophy game. It's one of the games that, you know, your fans are going to be fired up about, and it could start to swing a little momentum in your favor. So, TJ, let's move on to IU's.
I will say real quick, like his, I mean, that position that he is leaving, you just look at the stars that he had on his Colorado team and Steven Montez and Laviska Shenault. He's not going to find anybody like that in East Lansing when he gets there. There's nobody on that roster that replaces Steven Montez or Laviska Shenault. The defensive personnel is probably quite a bit better, which I'm sure is to his liking. But just in terms of star power on the skill positions, he's not going to find anything like what he had the luxury of having in Boulder. So, again, that offensive coordinator hire, to me, is going to be probably the most important hire that Michigan State's going to make here over the next 12 months as they try to continue the success that D'Antonio had and avoid the fall off you so often see when a school has to replace, you know, quote, the guy. I don't know if you qualified D'Antonio as a legend, but he has been the most successful football coach at Michigan State. in that school's history. So certainly a lot to live up to, and it's very difficult to replace somebody like that and not have some drop off.
Yeah, definitely. And we've seen it before where, you know, guys get replaced and you don't really get back up to that level. So let's move on to Indiana spring practice. As I mentioned at the top of the show, Indiana's going to open spring practice on March 7th. It's a Saturday. They'll finish with their spring game on April 17th, which is a Friday at 7 p.m. at Memorial Stadium. There's 9 early enrollees, including Dylan Powell, coming in as a Stanford grad transfer. We have 8 freshmen in. It's a program record on the amount of that. But IU's also dealing with some injuries. Peyton Hendershot, he got banged up in the bowl game. He's going to be out for spring. Thomas Allen is recovering from shoulder surgery. TJ Person is going to be limited. Jeremy Passmore is going to be present, but he's recovering from an injury as well. And then Josh Sanguinetti is limited in spring ball too. So there's a lot of opportunity for these young guys to come in, get reps, and grow as a team. And for me, TJ, let's go through 2 keys each for Indiana spring practice. For me, key number 1 is going to be, can you get Michael Penix and Jack Tuttle a full spring practice, a full go spring practice? Allen said that Penix is full bore, ready to go. He's put on about 15 pounds in the weight room, which should help his durability and things like that. He was not full go last spring. And then Jack Tuttle, he needs reps as well. He missed the latter half of spring practice last year, battling a mono. And just getting both of them through spring practice healthy will calm a lot of people's nerves, and it'll get them the reps they need to improve. Key number 2 for me is going to be figuring out the offensive line. It's not a total rebuild, but it's kind of a reshuffling. You do have to replace Coy Cronk, Simon Stepanak, and Hunter Littlejohn, but you do bring in Dylan Powell, who could play an interior position, any of the interior positions. You have Harry Kreider back. You can see Michael Kadick in there as well. It's, you know, a lot of mix and matching and things like that. And then you could get some of, you know, your depth linemen some reps as well, and start to build depth on the offensive line, which they need. What are your 2 keys, quick early keys for spring practice?
Right, yeah, 2 definite solid points. I don't think you could argue with them. Quarterback, I'm going to repeat that one as well. It's just such an important position. That's stating the obvious. Indiana needs, you know, the security blanket's gone. Ramsey's gone, and they need a full season of health from Michael Penix. When he's been in there, he's shown, you know, very exciting, good effectiveness, and lots of potential. We need to see a season of Michael Penix, and that starts with putting on that extra bulk. That should be a big importance to him. And then, you know, getting the spring reps, that's really important with a kind of a, you know, retooled receiving core. I really like the pieces of that group, but it's important to get that timing, get those reps in. And then Jack Tuttle, obviously, same thing. We need to have reps for him with the receiving core as well. And then the second point for me, I do want to, you know, since Peyton Hendershot's out, I really do think it's important for the Hoosiers to develop more playmaking from that tight end position outside of Hendershot. He's a great one to have, but I really do think that that's a position group that IU can use as a real strength, because I look at the personnel of it, Gary Cooper, TJ Ivey, Matt Bjorson. I mean, that's 3 guys that with Hendershot not playing, they're going to get a ton of work. And I think that 1 or 2 of those guys can really step up and be a huge part of the offense. That if I'm Nick Hendershot, I look at that position group as an advantage that I have almost every week over my opposition. because of the skill set that those guys bring. So I think the spring's an important time for that group to develop the depth there that we're going to need outside of just Hendershot, because, you know, he's great, but I'd love to see more from the second and third tier tight ends that the Hoosiers have, because I think they've got a lot to offer.
Yeah, that's another position group that you're correct, TJ, there about, you know, they really had Peyton Hendershot going last year, and you have some talented guys behind him. So that's right there. There's some other, you have a new special teams coordinator. You want to see how they do that. Can they, you know, fix the pass defense? Can they get a pass rush, which spring ball isn't really the best time to judge whether or not you're going to have a pass rush, but it's a good time to work on some technical skills and things like that.
You better
not coming
get
up right around the
corner.
Oh, no, people, don't get within 5 feet of the quarterback.
No.
But it's a time, you know, people to take a step back, look at what you got, look at some of these guys who haven't seen the field in a season or two and things like that. So that's why spring ball is fun to me, is you get to see some players, you know, the seniors have left. Half of the freshmen aren't here yet, so you're getting to see what the true depth of Indiana football is, and hopefully they could get through spring ball healthy enough to have an actual spring game this year instead of having a all-time quarterback and things like that, because it'd be really fun to see Penix against Tuttle in the spring game. I think that would add a lot of offense as well. So, TJ, that does it for today's podcast. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in a couple weeks to start our – actually, we'll be back next week to start our spring preview series. We'll preview the offense, the defense, and the special teams and go in depth on all of those positions. So come back early and often. Spring ball's here. Football season is basically done, but warm weather is slowly following – behind spring football. So thanks, TJ, for joining us.
Absolutely. Hope everybody has a good week. We'll talk soon.
All right. That does it for this evening's podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. That was TJ Inman. You can follow us on Twitter at @Hoosier_Huddle. You can visit our website, HoosierHuddle.com, for all the latest Indiana football news as well. We put out daily links to all the news in the Big Ten, in Indiana football, the Big Ten football, and nationally, things like that. So thank you for joining us. Stay warm, stay safe on this Wednesday evening, snowy Wednesday evening here in Indianapolis.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.